sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and
for a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Oops. Jerry? Hello?
Can you hear me, Macau?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I couldn't hear nothing. That's why I was just quiet. I was like, I ain't gonna say nothing.
No problem. Nope. No problem.
Good.
It was technical difficulties on my end. Anyway, like I said, I am JT. This is not a mistake. You are listening to JT. Mr. Vic Gardner is not here today. We're going to be taking his place for today. The number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637 is the place to be. If you want to talk to McCall and me, we're going to be running down the games, except for quite naturally the Thursday game, which I really don't want to talk about. But I think we'll be going to talk about some the ramifications of that game. But we're going to be running down every NFL game and who we think is going to win and lose. This show, the FSP show, is sponsored by Fantasy Sports Book and Casino. More ways to bet, more ways to win, and we are quite naturally, when you call in on the Fantasy Sports and Book Casino.com hotline. So with that being said, Macau, how you doing, my man? We talked yesterday briefly, and how you been?
I'm all right, sir. You know, just doing my thing. Definitely had to come in today. This is going to be one of the best FSP shows ever. Ever.
I hear you. Let's roll this way first, because I really wanted to talk briefly about what's taking place in college football. Quite naturally, Jameis Winston, he had no charges filed against him, and
The kid from Florida State.
Yes, the quarterback.
Okay.
The Heisman front runner I wouldn't say exonerated, but he had no charges were filed against him because all intents and purposes was a lack of evidence, tangible evidence, and it came out in the press conference, and I had commented on Thursday. about that there was indiscrepancies in her her memory of what took place, and also there was a second DNA which happened to be her boyfriend that was found on her personal clothing also. So it lends the credence what exactly happened. I have an idea. I expressed it on the FSP crew show. This is a college environment. They had been drinking prior to going back to whoever's apartment they went back to. All I can tell you from this is let your imagination be your guide. College kids drinking, going back to the boyfriend or the girlfriend, whoever's apartment, several people besides three participants in whatever happened were in the apartment. So I can well imagine what may have happened and what the fact that caused the chain reaction of what took place after the fact of the alleged sex assault or whatever happened. You can surmise your own conclusions. I have mine. I think it got a little freaky, and things got out of hand, and there was a lot of regret the day after, and because it probably he said, she said, was going all over the place, and this is the only way for, and I'm not saying this happened, but this is typical, in my opinion, what may have happened in a college environment with a lot of drinking and wild things happening. That she decided to, you know, try to make amends and go after the named player. But I'm not saying that's what happened. That's just speculation. I don't know. The only ones who really knew what happened is the two males and the one female, and that's it. And the guy above, the guy above. That's all I can tell you. Macau, your thoughts.
I mean, just like I told y'all the last time we talked about it, I knew them charges was going to get dropped. It was going to get dropped or it was going to get cleaned up. Because you can't get no money now. I mean, why are you going to make it made no sense to me. No sense to me. But, you know, somebody got an envelope, man. Somebody got an envelope. And then now the story is all messed up, man. Somebody got an envelope, man. These things just keep happening like this, and they end up the same way. Charges drop, not enough evidence, this is that, the third. I mean, it's always like this with like situations like this in college. I mean, I can't wrap my brain around that, man. I can't. But it happened exactly the way I said it on the show, man. These charges get dropped. You know what I'm saying? Youngin ain't even sniffed a check yet. So this is just crazy, man. This is just some craziness, man.
Okay.
And then like you said too, Jerry, they some young kids. They was out there drinking, getting drunk and stuff. I'm not making an excuse for the whole situation, but, man, I done seen some wild stuff at college parties myself, and this was years ago. And these kids are light years beyond my heathenism. Now, I was straight heathen back in college, y'all. We did some heathenistic things.
Right.
These kids are on a whole nother level, if you can believe that.
Yep.
They're on a whole level with this stuff now, man. So you don't know. I mean, think about it. You don't know who's on what team. I'm talking about male and female. You don't know what they got, what they doing, what they dressing. I mean, because everybody. I mean, it's just so much going on now, man. You just don't know. But you know, my prayers go out to the young lady, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, because she going through a real trying time because, you know, they they put her on trial and, you know, scrutinized everything with her or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, what you doing with two men, Slim? I mean, come on, really? What you doing?
Right.
I don't care what, you know, if it was what you wanted it, but what you doing? You know, that's not a young lady, but, you know, in this society, anything goes.
Yep. And like you said, drinking and college kids, man, in this day and age, it gets absolutely off the chain, off the hook. You never know. And the type of things that happen will make you absolutely cringe if you really knew about them or were to witness them nowadays live, what you would just, you know, you'd be amazed what mommy and daddy doesn't see, what their Johnny or Jane does behind closed doors is absolutely off the hook. So, it is what it is, man. I mean, you know, it's college life, and depending on where you're at and what college, it can be crazier than the next. So, And speaking of college, this is probably a very good day to be watching college football because the national championship has some ramifications today of who's going to play who. Number three plays number five, number three Auburn plays number five Missouri. Number one Florida State plays number 20 Duke for the ACC championship. Number two Ohio State plays number 10 Michigan State, who's got the best defense in the country today. And if they have any chance of playing the national championship, Ohio State, who's only played two ranked opponents this year, Michigan State will be the third, have to, in my opinion, prove themselves because they really have, along with a lot of other people, supposedly played a cupcake schedule against a lot of non-ranked opponents, and this is going to be the ultimate test, playing against the best defense in the country in Michigan State, who, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't allowed a point in at least the last two games. This is going to be a huge task, and it's supposedly the major test for Ohio State to see if they can go play as long as Florida State beats Duke, the number one team in the country, Florida State, for the national championship. I'm looking anxious. I'm looking forward to watching these games. Number three, Auburn and Missouri play at 4:00. Florida State plays at 8:00, and right along the same time, Ohio State plays about 8:15. So I'm gonna be flipping channels and keeping an eye on all these games because it has huge implications on who plays for the national championship going forward. Your thoughts, my man?
Michigan State and Ohio State.
Yes.
Michigan, because I get the Michigans mixed up.
Michigan played last week.
This Michigan State, is this the Wolverines or is this the other one with the green and white?
Michigan State Spartans.
That's the green and white.
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you, man.
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be a good game. That's going to be a good game. Because, you know, them folks in Michigan don't like them folks in Ohio.
No, they don't.
It ain't quite like the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, but that's close enough. It's close enough.
Right.
But with Ohio not playing a lot, a stronger schedule, I'm a little skeptical. I would go with Michigan State on that one. Definitely go with Michigan State on that one. Defense wins, defense wins championships. They should be on their way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, I'm real anxious to see this game, number 10 Michigan State against number 2 Ohio State. Absolutely. And we'll see what the Ohio State's made of. They've only played number 3 at the time, Wisconsin, and number 16 at the time, Northwestern. So they've faced lower-ranked opponents in the top 25. So we'll see what they can do with a top 10 team like Michigan State with the best defense in the country. All right, let's talk about this. You know, when it took place, we didn't really talk about it on any of these shows, and we had talked about it briefly last night, and I said I wanted to bring it up. We're going to move transition over to the NFL, and we're going to transition over to Mr. Soul Train Line himself. Mike Tomlin, as people know, last week when they were playing a game against the Baltimore Ravens, against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Baltimore, Jacoby Jones took the opening took a punt, I think it was a punt or a kickoff, doesn't make a difference, and was traveling down the sideline along the Steelers sideline where Mike Tomlin, and all coaches know, was not supposed to be in the white, was in the white on the sidelines with about a half a foot or so onto the playing field. With his back to Jacoby Jones, as Jacoby Jones was approaching him, he was looking at the Jumbotron, watching the play, when he realized that he was too close to the play and did a Soul Train slide to the left to get out of the way of where Jacoby Jones was running, which slightly, and it ever so slightly, altered the running of Jacoby Jones, and he was quickly overtaken and tackled right after he passed Mike Tomlin, which, if you saw the play, you knew he was going to get caught anyway. And even though he changed his direction, he didn't change it that much that it would have affected the play. But the fact is, Mike Tomlin was in the field of play and was on the white where he was supposed to be. And if you also watched the play, he narrowly missed the official that was running down the sidelines. In fact, the official had to go around Mike Tomlin to keep up with the play. And everybody knows what happened. In the following days, he was fined $100,000, which is the second highest amount, only second to Bill Belichick, who was $500,000 lighter in the pocket for Spygate. And but the other ramification, he could have gotten tossed off the competition committee because he happens to be on a competition committee, and he was more or less volunteered, let me put it that way, to put it lightly, that he was going to be on the competition committee because the fact is he was so highly thought of as a coach in the league that they wanted him on a competition committee. And he also could have cost the team some money, which didn't happen, and he also can cost the team a draft pick or two, which you and I talked about yesterday, and I don't think that's, in my opinion, that's pretty excessive to even think about, because supposedly, since the Ravens kicked a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown, and there was no penalty on it, and the officials are going to be penalized for that, the grade's going to drop for that, and it could be ramifications for them not being in playoffs games, but draft picks, because the fact is that what he did, man, that's, in my opinion, that's too excessive. You fine him $100,000. He's the one that did it. Why would you even think about penalizing the team for something that this is the first he's ever done it? He's never even been close to anything like this in the past, and he was definitely contrite and apologetic and embarrassed when he made his press conference about 2 or 3 days ago. Mikal, talk to me. I know you. I think you have opposing opinion. Give me your thoughts.
No, I really don't have an opposing opinion about this. I thought it was beautiful. I honestly thought it was beautiful because what makes football is not only the play, but the storyline that goes on with it. There's a long storyline development with those two franchises, man. The Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, it's a fairly new rivalry, you know what I'm saying? But it is heated. You know what I'm saying? It's a heated one. You know, the Ravens don't like the Steelers, and the Steelers don't like the Ravens. And it just adds to the story. I agree with the fine. He should have been fined. I think he still should be on the competition committee because, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that showed that he was just a person of bad character. I don't see it that way. I thought it was funny. I was thoroughly entertained. like watching his face, I was like, "Oh, dude, you know you wrong," and he was smiling about it. You know what I'm saying? But see, people may take it as, you know, it was sinister. Nah. I don't look at it as sinister. It was wrong. It was real wrong, and I'm not going to say it was harmless because that joint had all intent. But, Slim, you got to give it up for the entertainment value for that joint. I was cracking up laughing watching that joint. I know that Ravens fans pissed. You know, they want to chop his head off. They want to fire him. They draft him. And all. That's ridiculous, man. $100,000, That's perfect. That's perfect. That's it. Let's all move on. You know what I'm saying? But I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. Because when I watched that thing, I was like, oh, he's telling you, bro, he is wrong. And then they put the camera on him. He was smiling, too. He was laughing. Because he knew he was wrong. He knew he was wrong. And the thing about it, Mike Tomlin is such a forthright and a gentleman. You know what I'm saying? He's very You know what I'm saying? He always, you know, right at the press conference, he took full responsibility for it. And he wasn't just saying, you know how people come out and just say the right things, you know, just to be PC. Nah, that dude spoke from the heart, you know what I'm saying? And he had, you know, good thought with it. So, man, nah, give him the fan and laugh at it, chalk it up, and just go on for real, man. That joint, I didn't have a dog in anyone winning that game because, you know, I don't like Baltimore. And I ain't too crazy about the Steelers, but I respect both franchises. So I ain't had no dog in the fight, but I was thoroughly entertained. The NFL entertained me with that game, Slim. That was worth the money to watch that joint.
Well, speaking of that, and let me put this in here also before we move on. I have a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin. He this guy carries himself with a lot of class, and he's a straight shooter, and he's a square guy. He calls it like it is, regardless if it looks good for his team or not. He calls it like it is. Each and every time that he speaks on it, whether it's after a win or after a loss, he calls it like it is. So for this to happen, a lot of people think he did it on purpose. I can't see that because he's not that type of dude. He believes in, and I really believe this, he believes in fair competition. You get out there mano a mano and play it square, and whoever comes out on top comes out on top. And he doesn't believe in cutting corners just to get a win. I don't think that he has never shown that before. I don't think he tried to do it this time. All right, let's move on. We're going to be getting into these games. We got about a little more than a half hour, but that's okay because there's a lot of good matchups, a lot of divisional matchups, a lot of heated rivalries this weekend. And I'm anxious to see or get your opinion on some of these games. First game on the docket, and this a lot of these games have playoff ramifications, guys, teams trying to jockey for playoff positioning or keep themselves eligible in a playoff hunt. First off the list here is the Indianapolis Colts at the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Andrew Luck has been playing absolutely horrible for the last ever since Reggie Wayne got hurt. For the most part, he's been trying to find himself, and the offense has been trying to find himself. Trent Richardson has got demoted to a backup behind Donald Brown, and Indianapolis it hasn't been playing that well. And Andrew Luck hasn't been performing that well on the road, whereas Cincinnati is undefeated at home and ready to rock Indianapolis's world. I like Cincinnati in this game. Andy Dalton plays a lot better at home than he does on the road, and I think he has more weapons and a better defense than the Indianapolis Colts, and that's the team that I like. I like Cincinnati. Give me your thoughts, my man.
I'm with you. I like Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati. You know, the Colts, they missing Bruce Arians, man. I'm sorry. I like Garno, but Arians did his thing, man. He did his thing with that team. He did his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that 1-2 punch for Garno's defense and Arians' offense, made them the lethal combination that they were last year. I think this year, I think Luck is just, going through sophomore issues, which is, to be expected. But, I ain't going to take nothing from that young man. I think he still could swing it, but he ain't got enough for this game. He's going in Cincinnati. Them boys home. They hungry, and they going to get it. I like Cincinnati.
All right, let's move on to the next game, which Atlanta is visiting, and it ain't the same without the quarterback, is visiting Lambeau Field. Is going to be playing the Green Bay Packers with the Matt Flynn-led Green Bay Packers. Atlanta is 3-9. The Green Bay Packers are 5-6-1, hanging on by the thinnest of fingernails, trying to get at least that last playoff spot with Aaron Rodgers officially ruled out this weekend because of that fractured shoulder. First question before I even ask you about the game, who wins and who loses. If Green Bay does not win this game, in all intents and purposes, they should win it, but if they do not win this game, Charles Woodson, who used to play, quite naturally, used to play on the Green Bay Packers, is now playing for the Raiders, said about a week ago, before the last game was played on the NFL Network, that he thought that Aaron Rodgers, rather than take the chance and try to push him back and bring him back too soon, because he means too much to the franchise if something goes wrong, if he gets out there too soon, should be shut down for the season. My question to you before we get into who wins and who loses this game at Green Bay, if Green Bay happens to, for one reason or another, lose this game and it, for all intents and purposes, out of the playoff push, would you shut down Aaron Rodgers and call it a wrap for this season?
I would have shut it down. I would have been shut it down. He should be shut down now.
Okay.
He should be shut down. He's way too valuable, man. When they got the six losses, they should have just been like, nah, go ahead, Slim. Just go ahead, heal. We get you back next year, That's what I had done.
Okay.
Way valuable for that team. Way extremely valuable for that team. That offense is nothing without him. Absolutely nothing. He is the cog that makes that wheel turn. Yeah, they should have been shut him down. He should have been shut down last. Put it out there last week. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to put it out there like that. Even if they lose this jump, they still ain't going to put it out there like that. And it should be that way. You know what I mean? Any team that, that's out there playing, you never concede nothing. I don't care if you're 1-10, you don't concede nothing. But behind those closed doors, oh yeah, I'd be like, yo, son, nah, rehab, you know, come to the games, look pretty and shit, but nah, you got to go to town.
Okay.
I'm giving you what, I got $100 million contract on you? Oh, nah, I got the decade.
Right.
I need that shoulder right.
Yep. I have to agree with you. I don't think it's worth it. You can see what the difference he is when he's not in there, when Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien is playing. So you can definitely see the difference in the offense and also the fantasy ramifications of all
right.
the players, especially wide receivers, and how much their production has dramatically dropped with him not being in there.
Right. And then, too, with them being 5-6-1, man, they got a snowball chance in hell of getting that joint. What
right.
is Detroit's record?
Detroit is 7-5 right now. So they got a 2-game lead on them right now. They have a 2-game lead on them.
That's done. Hang it up. If they were more like 9-3, I would say yeah. But nah, not 5-6-1, man. That's too close to if probably the maybes, man.
Right. So let's delve into this. Atlanta's at Green Bay. Atlanta is, for all intents and purposes, only won three games quite naturally, 3-9. They've been playing absolutely horrible. Their receiving core has been decimated with Julio Jones and Roddy White for the most part. Julio Jones completely out of the season. Roddy White was out for the majority of the season. He showed up last week for the first time out of the whole season, basically, and he may be playing better because he's healthier now, but it's too little too late for the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to Green Bay, dome team, going to a cold weather team, and Lambeau Field. I know Aaron Rodgers isn't there, but I think they've still got enough weapons to beat the lose against the Green Bay Packers. I think it was fool's gold what happened last week. I like the Green Bay Packers this week. Talk to me.
Man, this game is like I got no clue which team going to show up. I have absolutely no confidence in Matt Flynn. And what happened to Matty Ice?
Hey.
What he melted? What's going on?
No running game, and backup receivers. That's what happened to him.
I'm just going with Green Bay because that's my default pick to pick the home team, but I am not confident with it, man, at all.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to another. Well, I don't know if it's got ramifications, but if New England wants to stay ahead in the AFC East, which shouldn't be a problem because every other team is really not showing anything in the AFC East, they're hosting the Cleveland Browns, who have the quarterback issue. Jason Campbell, Brandon Whedon, both sustained concussions last week. Brandon Whedon sustained a concussion last week. Jason Campbell sustained a concussion the week before. That's the reason why Brandon Whedon was playing last week. Both of them Jason Campbell has been cleared to practice and looks like he's going to play. Brandon Whedon hasn't been cleared to practice. So they're going into New England with New England having to win this game against one of the hottest wide receivers. In fact, the hottest wide receiver in NFL right now, not named Calvin Johnson, and Josh Gordon, who's put two back-to-back 200-game receiving games and going up against Aqib Talib in New England. This is going to be a good matchup against that cornerback against the wide receiver, but it's not in my opinion, a good matchup between Cleveland and New England. In my opinion, New England's going to win this game, even though Cleveland has one of the better pass defenses in the league and a pretty good run defense. I think New England can take advantage of the weaknesses that Cleveland has. So I like New England in this game. Talk to me.
I definitely like New England in this game. But I just want to say to you, Jerry, that I take great pride in being able to talk about the New England Patriots over my cousin, because I know he can't stand him. He don't like Belichick or whatever. And you know why I take such great pride in it? Because all of the years that I hated the Patriots, and every time that I was like, okay, they're going to lose, and they win. You do it over and over again. And I just got tired. I was like, you know what? I ain't even going to root against them or for them again. I'm just going to look at them for what they are, and they find a way to win. So all those years that I felt the same way that my cousin should be feeling right now, wrong and a little mad at the Patriots, I'm taking it out on him. That's
right.
Why I take great pride in it, because I know, man. In like the early 2000s, dude, I could not stand the Patriots. I couldn't stand Brady. I didn't see what was so wonderful or whatever until I just, took that hat off and started looking at just the football and watching Brady, just how he quarterbacks, how he leads. And I started looking at it, just strictly football, and I saw the virtuoso. You know what I mean? I saw
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah, this dude is it. He is it. And Belichick, he's a hell of a coach. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. He's a jerk.
He's a cheat. But his team is constantly winning, and his team is built correctly. It's built correctly, and they should always be able to eke out 10 wins a year. With that division over there, oh, my goodness. They should never
right.
be no 4-2 in that division, ever.
You're right.
I mean? Ever. I look at 6-0, but, it's parity in the NFL, and you never know who's going to win and lose or whatever any given Sunday. But 4-2, I would go for that for them in that division. And that 4-2 will give them that division each and every year. What they won in, 12 seasons straight, 10 seasons straight, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yes. Yes. And me being an ex-AFC team fan, I quite naturally couldn't stand these guys. I really don't like them, but you got to respect them because they did do this with whoever they have, other than Brady and Belichick. Whoever they have, they seem to be able to put things together regardless of how bad it's been going. Earlier in the season, they were doing horribly. He was missing receivers, and the offense wasn't on point, but they were still winning. So you got to hand it to them, regardless of what circumstances and how adverse they may be. They've only sustained, two, three losses, whatever it is.
And they only
sustained three losses and have been some quality teams. And with rookie wide receivers and unhealthy people in and out of the lineup, Amendola, Gronkowski, Dobson, Tompkins, all those guys have been in and out of the lineup at one point or another.
They sure have.
And they've still been doing their thing and beating elite teams. So,
Jerry, is it me or does it seem like these dudes just go and pick out dudes off the street and have them come in there and play their ass off? I mean, they play out their mind.
Right.
Is it me?
Yeah.
But this crap has been going on for 10 years.
Yeah.
At least more than that. But I'm going. I'm about 10 years in now. You know what
right.
I'm saying with that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. It's just unreal, man. Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You got to hand it to them. Let's move on to another AFC team hosting an AFC West team. The Oakland Raiders hosting the New York Football Jets, not Giants, Jets, in MetLife Stadium. Now, you got a backup quarterback in Oakland because Terrell Pryor is still not healthy, and the backup quarterback has been playing quite well. Playing against the Jets, whose quarterback, Geno Smith, hasn't been playing well at all. Leads the league in turnovers with 22. I think 19 of those were interceptions. He got yanked in the last game because he was so horribly inept. But after the game, the Monday after the game, Rex Ryan said that he will start the next game as the starting quarterback. So just like Case Keenum in the Houston Texans, who are 2-10, and then New York Jets, who are 5-7. Yeah, they're going to be riding Geno Smith unless something happens horrifically, injury-wise, to Geno Smith. I think they're going to be riding him to get a better look or a better understanding of what kind of quarterback they have. If he's going to be a franchise quarterback, or do they need to go out and get either a veteran quarterback somewhere or a rookie quarterback out of the college ranks in the 2014 NFL draft. So, this is a tough call for me because the fact is Oakland is the AFC West team coming to the East Coast in the cold weather playing the Jets. Jets have a very good defense, run defense, which is a top five. Their pass defense is in the bottom rung of the NFL. I think Rashad Jennings is iffy to play. McFadden has got an ankle issue. May fall to Marcel Reese. And he's more effective in the passing game. I think they're going to try to pass on the Jets anyway. You know what? In this game, I like the Raiders to beat the New York Jets because I think Geno Smith is going to be a very good host and give a lot of gifts to the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, man, Jerry. The Raiders are terrible, man. They are terrible. The Jets are awful, but the Raiders are terrible, man. I don't know. These games are getting more ridiculous. But you know what? That young boy that's the quarterback for the Raiders, he's been slinging that ball. He's not scared. Geno is exactly who everybody thought he was. You know what I'm saying? You know, I ate a little crow at the beginning of the season, but I should have been patient, you know what I'm saying, because it's early in the season. But I don't think he's it. You know what I'm saying? But, then you got the Jets, man. What offense are they running? You know what I'm saying? Do they have a dude up there running the offense that can? Oh, do they have a quarterback up there that's nurturing this young dude? You know what I'm saying? That's talking to him, that's working with him. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, because honestly, the dude he's got some talent, right?
Yes.
But he don't have. He don't have that 1% talent. He not there. So you gotta work with him. They gotta work with him. They gotta work with what they got. You know, I don't know which quarterback is coming out next year. I mean, I know it's another crop of them, but you know, you still taking a chance. I don't know what they gonna do about that mess, man. But You know what? I'm agree with you, man. I'm going to go with the Raiders. So go with the Raiders.
Right. Well, supposedly, and I can't name them all, and I should be able to, but I can't name them all. There's supposed to be a bumper crop of quarterbacks coming out. There's supposed to be a pretty good class of quarterbacks coming out this year, or that'll be eligible to come out, I should say.
Right.
And a lot of teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks. The Jets may be one of them. Oakland may be one of them. Who knows? I kind of doubt it. Let's move on to two teams that are not looking for quarterbacks because both of these guys have been slinging it. I'm talking about the Detroit Lions visiting Lincoln Financial Field against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is going to be points, points, and more points. I think this is going to be whoever has the ball last because I think both of these teams know how to score. They do know how to score. They have decent running games, very good running games with LeSean McCoy and Reggie Bush and Joique Bell, and also good receiving game with the DeSean Jackson and emerging, breaking out Riley Cooper along with those two tight ends, Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. And on the other side, you got Megatron. You can't dismiss him at all. Best wide receiver in the NFL with a good complement of Nate Burleson on the other side, Chris Durham, and even the super big, strong 6'7 tight end and Brandon Pettigrew. We got a lot of skilled players and a lot of points to be put up. The defense is going to be kept very active and very frustrated against these two teams. You know, I've been on the Detroit bandwagon since preseason. This is going to be a tough go for me. And this is probably one of the more difficult games I can't pick. But I have to pick. And I'll have to go with the hottest quarterback, which is Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk to me.
Man, yeah, this game is going to be ridiculous as far as shootout. That boy Stafford, he is a gunslinger. And let me tell you something. The only reason that Calvin Johnson is the way he is or, you know, gets the numbers the way he do is because he has a gunslinger for a quarterback. He has a quarterback that can get him the ball. There's
right.
No effective wide receiver in the NFL that does not have a quarterback that can get him the ball. You know what I'm saying? And Stafford, that dude is a slinger. He reminds me of a Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he ain't as thugged out as Brett, but he'll sling. He will sling, and I really like watching him play. Nick Foles has really, you know, he...
You there? We see that we have lost McCall. Hopefully we get him back. Hopefully he'll call back in again. We seem to have lost him. He was starting to talk to us about Nick Foles. Hopefully, let me see if I can get him back here. Hold on, here he goes. Talk to me.
Got me.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh,
talk
no,
to me.
That was me. That was me. This mm-hmm. daggone iPhone. Somebody was trying to call me, and I was trying to hit ignore, and it answered. But anyway,
okay.
Yeah. Nick Foles has really surprised me, man. This
mm-hmm.
dude is really slinging. And for Chip Kelly to say that Nick Foles is not the ideal quarterback for his offense, yo, that's just ridiculous. This youngin has really shown me, and it would take a lot for you to show me something to say, okay, bench Michael Vick.
Right.
I am in the camp now. Okay, I'm down now. Bench, keep Mike on the bench. Use this youngin, because this youngin, he don't mind putting it downfield. He don't mind launching it. He don't mind doing what he got to do. And he don't throw any interceptions as of yet. So that's always a plus.
Right.
I don't know if I can take the Eagles in this game, though, man, because Stafford and Reggie Bush and Calvin Johnson, they're going to have a lot to say, man. They're going to have a lot to say in this game. So I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game. We got four more running 1 o'clock games before we get to the 4 o'clock and the late game and the Monday night. The next 1 o'clock game on the DS is happens to be, and I think this is a no-brainer to me, Miami visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost a tough game against the Baltimore Ravens last week. They're going to be a little pissed off. Miami is very prone to getting Tannehill sacked. He's probably been one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Talk to me.
Oh, I definitely like the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. You know, I'm well documented my dislike for the coach of the Miami Dolphins. He's running that team to the ground, man. Running it to the ground.
Okay. Let's move on to another Florida team, Tampa Bay, hosting the Buffalo Bills. C.J. Spiller has been playing pretty well, but they're, and so has Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's won. Tampa Bay has won.
What, two games? One game?
No, Tampa Bay has won three games. They were on a three-game winning streak until they lost last week to whoever they lose to. Let me see who they lost to. They lost to the Carolina Panthers. They got blown away by the Carolina Panthers in Carolina, which broke their three-game winning streak. I think they start a new streak against the Buffalo Bills. I like the Buffalo to lose this game at Tampa.
Ooh. You like Buffalo to lose this one?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't like this coach either. So you know I'm gonna pick against him just because they got that coach.
Yeah, I understand that.
Buffalo ain't no. They a mess too. They a mess. They are atrocious. But I don't like the coach for Tampa Bay worse. You know what? Mm-hmm. Which one of those coaches I don't like the most, Philbin or the coach for Tampa Bay? I might have to go with Philbin. I might have to go with him.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling he's a little, and I hate to say it like this, but a little on the weaselly side. He just appears to be that way. But it is what it is. Let's move on to a game that you'd be interested in down in your neck of the woods. The Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Washington Redskins. I'm not really going to say too much. I like Kansas City.
The no-brainer pick would be Kansas City, but I'm going to pick the Redskins.
Okay.
Because Andy Reid's teams always has a problem with Shanahan's team. He always had a problem with Shanahan's team. But unless he had Michael Vick, you know, whenever he had Michael Vick, he just stormed it up. But he don't got Michael Vick. You know what I'm saying? He got Kansas City. He got Alex Smith. Redskins should be able to get this game. They should have hit rock bottom last week, as I predicted. They should be able to bounce back and take it to Kansas City. I like my skin.
Okay, let's move on to the last 1 o'clock game: Minnesota visiting Baltimore, where Minnesota is going to be having their backup quarterback Matt Castle play against a very good run defense in Baltimore. I like Baltimore in this game because they're trying to make a playoff push. I like Baltimore.
I like Baltimore, too. Don't you get the eerie feeling that Leslie Frazier is trying to find a quarterback to save his damn job?
Yeah.
I am really getting that feeling over there, man. Really getting that feeling out there. I can't go with them. I can't go with Minnesota, man.
This is a very interesting game. This team has a very good pass defense with a backup quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been playing very well against a really bad pass defense in Denver. I'm talking about, the Tennessee Titans with a good pass defense against a really bad defense, especially against the pass in Denver. It playing in Denver, you know what? I'm going with an upset special here. I like Tennessee.
Oh, you like Tennessee in Denver?
Yes.
Nah, are you picking against Peyton Manning in Denver? I can't sign off on that, partner. I gotta go with the Broncos. they trying to keep pace. They got it's time for Peyton to round these boys in the form. But last week he lost the shootout to Brady, so you know he's gonna be on the warpath. So I'm going with the Broncos.
Okay. We got four more games to go over, and we got 2 minutes left in regular programming time. So we will be going over. The next game, which is a 4:25 game, St. Louis at Arizona. Arizona plays very well home. Carson Palmer's got elbow issues. Arizona has a very good defense. Backup quarterback for St. Louis. I like Arizona in this game.
Yeah, Arizona all day. They should take this. No quarterback out there in St. Louis to even, get a threat going. I like Arizona.
Next game on the docket, the New York Football Giants against the San Diego Chargers. Giants are one of the worst teams in the league in scoring offense. They've scored 237 points and given up 297 compared to what San Diego has scored 279 and given up 277. So even though that's a 40-point difference in scoring points, the Giants are minus 60 in points for and points against, versus plus two with San Diego. They're going cross country, West Coast, with a team that's got some weapons, with a team like the Giants that are very inconsistent, with no JPP in the pass rush for the second game in a row, and with a better quarterback than last week. I like the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, San Diego should win this game. Bring the Giants back to earth, I like San Diego. That trip is going to add some fatigue on the Giants.
Okay. Speaking of fatigue, these two teams, once they meet, this is a 4 o'clock game, as they always meet, are got to be pretty fatigued after their match. I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks against the San Francisco 49ers in Candlestick Park. Last year, these two teams split. I think the year before they split, I see a split here. Seattle won in Seattle. I think San Francisco catches them. This is like a playoff game for the 49ers because they have to win this game to be able to stay in the race to have a playoff spot. Right now, they're number sixth in playoff seeding. So even though they have a 9-3 record, 8-4 record, they didn't want to drop down to 8-5 because Arizona in the same division is right on their heels. I say the San Francisco 49ers win this game.
I like to see Hawks.
Okay.
I like the Seahawks. Pete Carroll got this team playing like a well-oiled machine. I like the Seahawks. I think Pete Carroll want to go down there and give it to Harbaugh, and this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. Harbaugh could be on the ropes. you know what I'm saying, Colin Kaepernick. You know, some passes good, some passes bad. He 50-50. I'm going with the Hawks.
Okay. Well, the last of the divisional matchups, the last of division rivalries, these two teams are going to be going at it because they have two good defenses, Carolina being the best of the two defenses. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints. Carolina has won nine in a row. Excuse me, they have won eight in a row, looking to go nine in a row. They're tied with the New Orleans Saints, even though the Saints have a tiebreaker. They're top of the division. Carolina can take over the division if they win this. This is like another playoff game. These two teams are going to be slugging it out, seeing who's the best, who's going to be the top dog in the division. I think they're going to split. I don't think Carolina gets them. I think he get it 2 weeks from now, they get him at home. I think New Orleans is going to win this game. Talk to me.
I'm with you. I like New Orleans in this one. It's time. It's about the time for that train in Carolina to stop. And it's going to take a stop in New Orleans, and New Orleans is going to give them what they need to see. So when they come back, you know, the next time, Carolina probably take them out. So Cam's going to get his. He's going to have some problems, but I look for Drew Brees to throw his arm out in that joint. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he's over 450.
Ooh. Ooh, you're probably right about that because they're pretty stout in the run defense. They probably have to pass the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the last game of the week on the Monday night at Soldier Field. Your Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears. Chicago is playing with their backup quarterback. Their run defense is absolutely horrible. Their pass defense is not that much better. Tony Robo has a sorry-ass record in the month of December, and he's trying to Jerry Jones has said, enough is enough with the December swoon. You got to perform in the this month in order to get to the playoffs. They need to keep pace with Philly to stay on top of the division. I like Dallas. I think they got more talent. Chicago is pretty beat up, especially on the defensive side. I know they're playing in Chicago, but I like Dallas in this game. Talk to me.
Man, there's no way I'm going to pick the Cowboys in this game. There's absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. Only if it's the Dolphins. No, can't do it. I can't do it. Chicago, come on, man. Y'all got to pull it together. Y'all got to do it. I got to put these boys, send these boys home crying like they always do, crying and complaining about whatever happened.
All right. Well, one of my last questions is this. One of these two teams, Philly or Dallas, are going to win the division. One of them. Washington has no shot. The Giants, in all intents and purposes, have no shot. Which one do you think is going to win a division? Without your bias, which one you think is going to win a division?
Oh, man, I have no idea. No idea. Because the Eagles are still a question mark, man. They're a question mark. And then if they do win, it ain't like they're going to do something in the playoffs anyway because, you know, they don't ever win a Super Bowl. They're the only team in our division that has no Super Bowls. So I don't even know why. I don't understand why Eagles fans always think they, you know, think they're doing something because they'll never do nothing. I would prefer, honestly, I would prefer the Cowboys to win. But, you know, I can't stand them. So if you ask me straight out who gonna win this joint, I think the Eagles are going to win it. If Foles stay hot the way he's staying, and as fit as Chip Kelly got him, they should win this joint. But you know, the Eagles even if they do go to the playoff, they ain't gonna do shit. They ain't gonna do nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
All right. Well, we come to the end of the show. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to say whatever you want to say at the end of the show before we close it out, and we go about our merry way.
Oh man, I wanted to ask you: did you see that that fourth and one call in the Redskins game, man? I was throwing stuff at the TV screen. I was so upset. That was just ridiculous, man. We'll make it more embarrassing. It was right here in D.C. Slim, y'all supposed
right.
to get a whole cooking to the visiting team, not the home team. What the?
Right. You're right.
How you? And then looking at the joint was close. Why didn't they measure it? Why didn't they measure it?
They completely botched that. I have no idea what that was. One of the hugest brain farts I've seen a refereeing crew do in a game, especially near the end of the game.
Right. But, you know, Redskins should have played better. They would have never had got themselves in that position anyway. And, you know, like I said, they didn't have it to get to put it together with the Giants. So that's all I wanted to say. The Texans don't play this week?
They played on Thursday, my man. Isn't that enough?
Oh, they played Thursday. Oh,
wasn't that enough? That's enough. We're going to be looking for a quarterback. I do believe we're going to be. Well, that's one of the reasons why they are playing Keaton. He's going to be the quarterback for the rest of the season. See what skill level he has, whether he can be a starting quarterback, or we have to go out and either sign a quarterback from another team, or draft a quarterback from the draft.
What is your preference?
Well, we have a lot of players that you can win now with. My preference is probably to get an experienced quarterback that can run with the team right away. Somebody
like
who's
who?
Been in the. Excuse me?
Like who?
Well, there's going to be at least one quarterback that I'm thinking of that's going to be out there that may have a shot. We'll see what happens. But and I know you want to say, oh, no, you don't want him, but. With the type of weapons he has around him, a running game, a decent defense, and decent wide receivers, I think Jay Cutler could be very effective.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Jay Cutler's staying in Chicago. I think that coach likes him, and I think he likes that coach too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to stay there. I think it'd be a bad move if he left. It'd be a real bad move if he leaves.
Well, one of the coaches that the owner had said they're going to be looking at was Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith used to coach Jay Cutler. So, I mean.
But Lovie is a defensive coach, man.
Well, that's true.
He's a defensive-minded coach, so he don't really have no love for a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He just get him a win. Get him a win and let me get my defense on the field, you know, type mentality.
Mm-hmm.
No. I see where you're going with I agree with your assessments. But I don't foresee Chicago letting him go. If Chicago lets him go, they some
fool. Chicago.
Some
fool. Yeah. Well, you have to see. I mean, he's going to command a huge salary, and maybe Chicago's because Chicago's a very frugal organization. They may not want to pay him that salary. You know, you follow me?
Right. But he not worth that though. He might think he can ask for it, but you know, I think an agent would be doing him a disservice by telling him to go for that gusto because he ain't done nothing to get it. Now, I think
right.
he should be, I think he should be in the top, you know, in the top 15, but not in the top 10, you know? You
feel
me? Yeah. Get that top 15 quarterback contract money, but not that top 10, nor that top 5.
How about your backup quarterback?
I mean, if y'all willing to give up some draft picks, we'll take it. But I'm gonna tell you right now, don't believe that hype. Youngin is good, but he ain't no better than Matt Schaub. No better than Matt Schaub.
Really, you think not? Really, you think not?
Yeah, I think he's a Matt Schaub. I don't think he's like a Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that or a Luck or somebody like that on the rise. Nah, I think he like a Schaub, maybe like a Fatty Ice, maybe, you know what I'm saying? He probably get you 8-8. He'll get you 8-8. But I don't think he's a superstar talent. He's not.
Okay.
He's not.
Okay. All right.
And all these Redskin fans, they need to quit that nonsense, man. But you know, because his value, the less he plays, the more his value go up. So mm-hmm. yeah, if y'all want to give up them draft picks, come on, we sit them on down there. We sit them on down there.
All right, be that as it may, I want to thank you for joining me today, my man. It's always been a pleasure when you,
you got it, man.
Call in. And enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. Good luck to your Washington Redskins and playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. And everyone who is listening, tune in next week, same time, same spot. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Vic will be back along with me co-hosting. And also for your fantasy football players on Tenet. Excuse me?
Just when the show was getting good, man. Just when the show was getting good. We can't get on the roll, man.
Well, tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I will be hosting the show called The Master Plan. We're going to be talking about fantasy football. We're in the throes of the fantasy football playoffs. That's what I'm going to be talking about. And then on Monday, as far as I know, and I could be mistaken, but the last information I got, that Sylvia Crawley is supposed to have no one other than AI, Allen Iverson. Now, I haven't seen anything to tell me anything different. Mr. FSP Vic Gardner texted me a few days ago, told me AI was supposed to be on Monday. That's what I'm looking at. Pay attention to Facebook. Look on the site, Fantasy Sports and Politics, www.blocktalkradio.com/VICHBK and see if there's a promo up for it. Otherwise than that, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the games, enjoy the weekend, and we're out.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.